Okay, thank you for staying around after that break. My name is, I could start? Yeah, okay, sorry. My name is Derek Hunt. I work with Shabtai, Agriculture Canada Research Station, Agassiz, BC, which is about 3.5-4 hours north, a little bit east from Seattle. The talk today is increasing nutrient production on dairy farms by using a less frequent harvest management system and a late maturing grass varieties. A little bit of background, we're southwest in BC, so it's a warm, temperate climate, high winter rainfalls and moderate temperatures. The dairy is an intensive dairy production system, and because they've got expensive land relative, about 60% of the feed is produced on farm and 40% is imported. The predominant system is a grass, usually orchard grass or tall fescue, and corn silage. So the modern dairy operations depend on a lot of high-quality feed, and to get these animals, I compare them to high-performing athletes, so therefore they have to have high-performing nutrition. So there's a lot of purchase feed brought in to supplement the farm-grown grass silage and corn silage, and they often add not only just a financial burden, because it adds to the cost of feed purchased, for production, but also an environmental burden, because this overloads the farm if land is limited with nitrogen and phosphorus. So south coastal BC and nearby Washington State, as I mentioned, 40% of this feed is purchased, and they even bring in supplemental straw fiber for fiber. And in our area, they do bring in a lot of eastern Washington and eastern BC alfalfa. So south coastal, we're very similar to northwest Washington State. It's all grass, corn, silage. The grass is preserved as hay, haylage, or silage. And yields are, in a very poor year, we may be down to 8 to 12 tons per hectare per year under orchard grass and tall fescue, but often we're getting 14, 15 tons, up to 16 tons per hectare dry matter under tall fescue. That's annual. And in the corn silage, mostly goes into bunkers or ag bags, whole crop silage, and yields typically a lower yield, a very poor year drought would be 12 to 15 metric tons per hectare, and typically we can get easily over 20, 25 tons per hectare per year, whole crop corn silage. So the objective of this experiment here is to, as part of an overall study, we want to improve the quantity and quality of farm-grown, homegrown feed. And this has to reduce nutrient input onto that farm. And the concept is based on if we can delay first harvest of the grass so we can get higher yield from that first harvest, but then we're going to use late maturing orchard grass or tall fescue varieties to mitigate the declining nutritional quantity. And with this high production, we can then spare land that would be in grass silage production and use that land for something else, such as corn silage, where we get higher overall annual yields, and we can go for corn silage with possibly Italian ryegrass relay crops to bump up the protein content, or we can go for high protein winter crops as well. So materials and methods, we've got two tall fescue varieties, two orchard grass varieties. The conventional system is five-cut orchard grass, and a proposed method that we suggest is a three-cut frequency. We've got 2 years of, we now have 3 years of production for yield. The two varieties, Tall Fescue, are Festival and Courtney, two orchard grass varieties, Amba and Baradana. Total in application is 360 kilos per hectare as ammonium nitrate, but we changed the application rates to match the harvesting schedule. So for the five cut, we're using 180, 60, 60, 60 applied to each pre-harvest. The three-cut system we're putting on is 150, 120, and 90. And in the past, we've seen burning from a high rate of 150 to 200 kilos at N per hectare. So in this situation, we split that first application into 275s about 10 days apart. The other nutrients, micros and lime, were applied according to soil tests, trial established 2013, and three production years. So in terms of the feed quality work, we work with Karen Koenig at the Lethbridge Research Station, who's an animal nutritionist. And we've run ash organic matter, crude protein, which is using 6.25 times LECO-N, acid detergent fiber using ANCOM, the amylase NDF using the ANCOM, Lignin is measured on the residue used in the DAISY 2 ANCOM incubator, and they also are doing with the ANCOM or the DAISY 2 the 30-hour in vitro NDF digestibility, and with rumen fluids, Karen does the 30-hour dry matter digestibilities. And they're also working on some 120 and 160 hour digestibilities, I believe, but I haven't seen any of that data yet. Replicated field trial, 4 reps. Main plot is harvest frequency, so a 3-cut or 5-cut, and the four varieties, 2 orchard grass, 2 tall fescue replicated within that strip. Plot size, I think it's 7 feet by 25 feet, and we harvest with a Wintersteiger. This one. That just shows a couple more shots of the harvesting sequence. And we actually have this trial replicated with another trial on alfalfa work as well. So some of these plots you can see on the top left there are alfalfa plots and alfalfa grass mixes. But I'm just reporting this data for the grass system. And the bottom right there just shows the regrowth from on a 3-cut compared to a 5-cut. There's a lot of data with the yield and combined with all the feed quality data. So I could create a bunch of bar charts like this, where I'm just looking at annual production. So for example, for 2014, we got about 1.3 more tons per hectare under the 3-cut compared to 5-cut for the orchard grass, and 1.9 tons per hectare increase in the tall fescues. Presenting the same data a different way, we can look at that yield distribution. And the yield distribution, of course, is significantly affected by our cutting management. So with a 3-cut system, we're almost doubling our yield on the first cut, which is the green in the bottom. So we're getting 36-35% on the tall fescues of our annual production, up almost getting close to 50% on the orchard grass early. Compared to a 5-cut system, it changes it completely. And this becomes important for a producer, because each of these would be going into a bunker in a batch. So, or whatever storage method they use, and each of them would have different feed quality characteristics. So I did similar graphs like this for the feed quality and how that changed with the batches. But to summarize the yield results for the 3 years, compared to the conventional 5-cut orchard grass early, the optimum treatment, 3-cut tall fescue late, had 3.4 tons per hectare greater yield averaged over the 3 years, and it was significantly higher for all the three years. And in the greatest was in 2015, we had a significant drought spell. So that dry period really affected the 5-cut system for its cuts 2, 3, and 4. So this could be also an adaptive system to mitigate against climate change, because the projections are that we're going to get hotter, drier summers, and that's when the 5-cut system is trying to get its, sometimes it's cut 2, but definitely it's cut 3 and 4. And if we can push more of an annual harvest into the spring, on first cut with a 3-cut system, it may help compensate against that. So in the red box there just shows the comparison of tall fescue late and orchard grass early. We maximized our yield under the tall fescue early variety, which is the third one down, 15.1 tons per year. But in terms of the next graph, next table in terms of protein, we can see that the tall fescue early takes a really big hit in terms of protein. Oh, actually, that's one graph away. So we have the nitrogen analysis and the feed quality work done for the first 2 years. We haven't finished 2016 yet. So for an end recovery, the 5-cut system has a lower end recovery compared to the optimum 3-cut late. So on average, we're getting 52 kilos of N more end recovery over 2 years under a 3-cut late system. And it was 36 kilos more in 2014, though not significant, and 67 kilos greater in 2015. This is the one I mentioned about the protein. So under the optimum system, 3-cut late, we're getting, on average, 1.5% lower protein over the 2 years. 1.2% in 2014 wasn't significant, 2% was in 2015. But that tall fescue early the tall fescue early festival variety under a 3-cut took an even bigger hit. So although we can get higher yield with an early maturing variety, it takes a bigger hit in terms of protein content. So that's why we're using the later maturing varieties, because they have more leaf to stem ratio and they don't decrease in quality as much with the later harvesting. Results for ADF, it wasn't significant in 2014. The 3-cut system was actually a little bit 0.7% higher ADF over the 2 years. But in 2015, it was significantly lower by 2.2%. So averaged over the 2 years, there's no significant difference. But, and so it is a better system in the sense that we've reduced that declining quality. If you look at the three-cut orchard grass, we're getting significantly higher ADF values of 36.4 and 37.1 over the 2 years. So that's a significant decline in nutritional value. The NDF values are similar. The tall fescue late wasn't significantly different, but it was a little bit lower in 2014, but it was significantly higher in 2015. Over the average over the 2 years, though, it's not significant. And tall fescue early is actually a little bit better in the sense that it has a closer NDF value to the orchard grass. And digestibility, this is where we're taking the biggest hit. It was significantly lower under the three-cut system compared to the five for both years, and 6.6% lower in 2014, 12.4% lower in 2015. So an average of 9.5% lower NDF digestibility over the 2 years. So if I summarize just the three-cut late system versus the five-cut early system, tall fescue versus orchard grass, the benefits on the right-hand column there, the three-cut versus the five-cut, it's less work. So the farmer can, there's less operation. So there's an economic benefit to take three-cuts versus five-cuts. We're getting significantly higher yield, 14.5 versus 11.1, and that it works out to about a 22% reduction in land that we would need to put into grass, and we can spare that land and put it into some other use, such as high-producing corn silage. Protein is slightly lower, 14.2 versus 15.7. The end recovery is significantly higher, 322 versus 270. So that's an environmental benefit. We have less end lost under a three-cut system versus a five-cut system. ADF is, as I mentioned, slightly higher. So ADF values, if they're higher, that's an indicator of lower quality. So we get less feed energy in that three-cut system. And the same with NDF. A higher value is lower feed quality, and it's an indicator of feed intake. So we have, on the three-cut versus the five-cut orchard grass, we would have a reduction in feed intake. And same thing with digestibility. We're having lower digestibility. So how do we, what are the implications for doing this three-cut late mature and tall fescue versus a five-cut early mature and orchard grass? So as I mentioned, we can spare about 20% of the land. So the orchard grass early, the middle column there, AMBA, we've got, if we have a typical 200-hectare farm, we can put 100 in grass, 100 in corn, just for numbers' sake. Under the left column there, tall fescue late system, we can take out 20% of that land and spare it to something else. So the options down there on the bottom right, we can go corn silage with a high protein and winter annual or a relay crop. We can plant alfalfa or red clover to get an on-farm crop produced for high protein content. But how do we deal with the problems of slightly poorer ADF and NDF quality and significantly lower protein? So we can use ration balancing software, which is used commonly every day for dairy production, to adjust for those changes in ADF, NDF, and protein. So this is some work we did previously. It was just a late maturing orchard grass versus an early maturing orchard grass, three-cut versus five-cut. And we had lower quality on the orchard grass silage, so the amount fed per day, 2.3 kilos, had to compensate because it has lower digestibility, lower protein. But that was made up in terms of digestibility by feeding that cow 10.9 kilos per day versus 9.53 of corn silage. So that's how the ration balancing software would account for lower digestibility and changes in ADF and NDF. And then to account for the protein content, it bumped up the dry distillers grains by 0.2 kilos and the canola meal by 0.2 kilos. So according to the ration balancing software, this would keep the same dry matter intake for that cow and the same milk production. But we would have to, under this scenario, we'd have to bring in some protein onto that farm. But since we've spared 20% of the land, we can use that land to produce the protein. As I mentioned, clovers, alfalfa, or relay crop. So the typical diets are total mixed rations is dominated now. The top boxes are the grass size, corn size, and grass hay, which we produced on the farm. The bottom are just examples of what the farmers are importing, not necessarily all at the same time, but they're bringing in rolled barley, distillers grains, either cereal grains or corn grains as distillers, soybean meal and canola meal. The bottom ones are all purchased, but we can replace those with protein produced on the farm. Some of the dairy nutrition feed balancing models that are out there, this is Karen's area of expertise and what she would be working on, is the Cornell Penn Minor, CNCPS, the Cornell Net Carbohydrate System, and then there's two commercial models, AMTS and NDS, which are based on CNCPS. A lot of this data is, as far as I understand, it comes from NRC, and they update these models on a regular basis, so they're very current. And another one that I kind of like the look of it is the Spartan Dairy Ration Evaluator. I've just kind of tinkered with it, but haven't done anything yet. So the overall objective is to take this feed quality analysis, put it into a dairy ration nutrition model, and see how that would change the formulations, and then to then upscale that to whole farm models to see how that would affect the whole farm in terms of its nutrient management and waste products that would be coming out of that, so greenhouse gas emissions, manure production, and the quality of that manure, and the implications, and the whole nutrient balance. So if we can produce more feed on farm, we'll have scenarios where we're doing less loading of nutrients. So two of the models are the IFSM, the USDA ARS model, and there's another model, DairyWise, out of Wageningen. I don't know how to pronounce that. But that's, I've looked at it. It shows promise, but haven't made any attempts to get that yet. So conclusions, delay in first cut and adopting a three-cut system versus five-cut, increased grass production, increased the efficiency of nitrogen use, lowered crude protein content, and increased ADF and NDF. But by using a late-maturing variety, we mitigated the decline in nutritional quality by minimizing the loss of crude protein and providing similar ADF and NDF values, though slightly higher. So this increased grass yield can spare land, and that land can be used to grow higher yielding silage corn plus protein winter cover crops, or grow a higher protein crop such as alfalfa red clover. And these harvest management and selection of species and varieties provides BMPs to improve the quantity and quality of the homegrown feed for forage production, reduce overall nutrient inputs onto the farm, and improve nutrient use efficiency. So our ongoing work is to complete the feed analysis for 2016, use the ration balancing software to adjust for ADF, NDF protein digestibility, and to use whole farm models to determine if this strategy will enhance farm feed sufficiency and overall nutrient balances on the farm. Thank you. I guess it could be time for questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So do you think producers with that 2% loss of protein, they have to get it up 16 to 18%? Do you think they'll actually grow clovers? Because you've already bumped up their fiber content in the diet, so they might just want to move to concentrates and soybean meal to replace that protein.
If depending on the cost of the feed they're bringing in. So if you can get cheap sources of brewer's grains or canola meal or soybean meal, then they may look at the cost, the overall cost, and go for that. But it does provide them the option to grow those protein crops. And I'd say, I think they would adopt that because the other talk I'm doing after lunch is to do with cover crops. And 30 years ago, we didn't have very much on the dairy farms with cover crops. And they've adopted the cover crop to bump up their winter feed production, and then they're looking at ways by adding peas and vetch to their cereal cover crops to bump up the protein content. So they're already kind of looking at some of these ideas, and there are a few growers trying out alfalfa, which historically hasn't done well in our climate because we get a cold, wet winter, and it gets diseases and possibly some type of winter damage from surface freezing thawing. So I think they will look at those options. But at least this would show them a scenario that they can go that way.
Yeah. And have you considered adding like red clover to your, since you're only going to cut it three times a year, getting 20% clover, I mean, that would bump your protein content and might survive a couple of years in a three cut system with your grass that you consider.
Yeah, like a single cut or double cut red clover. We've got some red clover trials, and we've got some really good yields with red clover as a pure stand. And we've done work in the past using white clover mixtures, which you don't really get the yield out of those, but it definitely you can grow the and that's the other experiment we're looking at, alfalfa with grass mixtures too, would maybe provide some options as well. So yeah, for sure, for growing mixtures. Okay, we're done. Okay, thanks.